vážení televizní diváci, prezidentské volby v Polsku, jejichž druhé kolo se konalo tuto minulou neděli, vyhrál existující prezident Andrzej Duda ze strany Právo a spravedlnost. To, co se děje v téměř 40-milionovém Polsku, je velmi významné pro střední Evropu a obávám se, že to může mít docela závažné dopady na to, co se dál celkově bude dít nejen ve střední Evropě, nejen v Polsku, ale tedy i ve střední Evropě. Pro britské listy už několik let píše pravidelně velmi informované analýzy o polské politické situaci náš spolupracovník Tomáš Oriňský, jehož jsme si pozvali do dnešního rozhovoru britských listů, aby nám řekl, co se tedy vlastně Polsku stalo a co se tedy tam zřejmě bude dít i dál a co to všechno znamená. Tomáš Oriňský sice mluví česky, ale nechce se strapňovat svou údajně špatnou češtinou v tomto televizním rozhovoru, tak jsme se dohodli, že budeme hovořit anglicky a omlouvám se jako obvykle za ty anglické titulky. Mr. Oriňský, why did Andrzej Duda win these elections?
Well, I guess he owns his victory mostly to this enormous scale of government propaganda. We can discuss if the elections were valid, because there are some opinions that they shouldn't happen now, after the previous ones on 10th of May were cancelled. But surely they weren't fair. The government propaganda was working at the highest possible speed. The television, the state-owned television, a public station, wasn't even pretending to be in any way impartial. It was openly broadcasting Andrzej Duda's commercials, basically during the headline news program in the evening. The government was also supporting him very much during last couple of weeks.
Well, in a way, that seems to be a slightly worrying development. I was recently talking to our Brazilian colleague Fabiano Golgo about the situation in Brazil. There are some similarities between Poland and Brazil. And his argument is, yes, but the problem is that just people vote for these populists. And obviously, you are arguing that, well, it was unfair because there was incredible sort of full blatant propaganda in the media, especially in what used to be public service television, TVP, and now it is basically a Spravodlivosť propaganda channel. But actually, there is this worrying thing. If you repeat nonsense to the public for a long time, they will just accept it, no? Well, and that's democracy.
Yes, that's part of it. But what you mentioned, why people vote, we also have to remember that people who vote for Andrzej Duda and for peace in general are mostly people from small villages, little towns in the east of Poland, which haven't benefited so well from the changes after 1999 as the Western Poland and big metropolis. And they were often feeling that they were abandoned by those changes. And peace managed to play on those ways of thinking, especially that also many people who live there are still poor. And for them, when they feel that for the last 30 years no government ever cared about them, and suddenly they come those populists who throw money at them. But it's a simple choice. I believe many people who are in a hopeless situation would not look into the deeper matters of the politics, but just vote for someone who can, in a way, help with their everyday life. And there was this dramatic scene from this officially news item, but as we know, it was Duda party political broadcast in Wiadomości TVP, when the older lady said that her life improved dramatically because before the peace went to power, she was going hungry, and now she got extra few hundred zloty and she can afford to eat.
This is quite interesting. I mean, you're then saying you're slightly contradicting yourself, because in a way you were saying originally that people voted for Duda because they were bamboozled by total propaganda.
I wouldn't say it's a contradiction. Those are like two reasons why people vote for peace. So they are those people for whom this 500 zloty per kid really improved their everyday situation. But also
500 zlotys per child, is it?
Per second child and every further, I guess. So it was promised to be for every child. They toned it down slightly, but still for many families with more than one child, which tend to be also families of the Catholic faith and often with the poorest income, for them it can be really a significant in injection of money.
And what about those pensioners? Because obviously an old lady who said on television that she was starving, she obviously didn't have any children since she was a pensioner. Did they also raise their pensions?
Not really. Actually, I've seen some statistics that they haven't raised the pensions as much as the previous governments, but they gave this like one-time handout. They called it 13th pension, which is like they pay extra one in a year. We will see if that's just election year or if that's to become the regular thing. But still, it's like almost 10% of your yearly income for a pensioner. It is a huge injection.
I'll tell you, Tomáš, you probably may remember or not an incredibly ancient joke about a Polish dog and a Czech dog meeting at the Polish-Czech border. And Polish dog is going to communist Czechoslovakia saying, I am going to have something to eat properly finally. And the Czech dog goes to Poland and says, yeah, but in Poland you are allowed to bark. So that was then, under communism, there was poverty in Poland, but there was freedom. While in Czechoslovakia there was affluence, but there was no freedom. And it looks now that your Polish compatriots have voted for affluence at the expense of freedom, at the expense of abolishing the independence of the judiciary, of the media.
Yes, but this is where those two things intertwine. Because while this government handout can help in the small scale to people who are the poorest, to families with children, to pensioners, the peace politics actually is not going to make economy any better. Experts actually believe it's to the contrary. Of course, the government hides the official information and says that we have it as we never had before, and it's a golden time for Poland. But actually, you can find some reports here and there that Poland is really falling into a huge government debt, and that this economic policy cannot go on for longer. And also the problems with, as you mentioned, judiciary and other things discourage people from investing in Poland. Also, now government in search of money to fund all those handouts is crashing onto entrepreneurs and trying to find money in every way possible. So they are now tormented with some very scrupulous controls and everything, and the bureaucratic burden becomes so heavy for many entrepreneurs that I even know some people personally who closed their businesses in Poland and opened it in Czech Republic, just across the border, because it's much easier to conduct business in there.
There is also this amazing thing which I thought history could not possibly have such an impact on the making that there are those parts that were parts of Germany voted for liberal Trzaskowski, and the parts that weren't part of Germany that were in the past, was it 19th century, part of Russia, voted for this authoritarian party which is in power.
Yes, but you have to remember it has nothing to do with Russian or German influence, because people who live in Western Poland used to live more to the east before the war. They were just shifted to the west as Polish borders shifted. I think it's more to do with the geographical facts that Western Poland is closer to Western Europe. It has a better road collection, so all these investments are happening there, foreign factories and everything. It's mostly located in Western Poland. That's why it does much better economically.
That would actually be grist to the mill to those commentators who are saying that deprived people vote for populists, vote for Brexit, vote for Trump, vote for Duda, for peace. But there is this other real question, is that under normal circumstances, if you have such a tight result, for 48 or whatever it is, 49% against 51, it's like Brexit or, even the voting for Trump in 2016, that actually the person who has won should be a president for both sides. And because he didn't win an overwhelming majority, he should actually be careful because he should represent also the other side. But that's not going to happen in Poland, is it?
No, it's definitely not going to happen. Andrzej Duda in this election evening, he said, oh, I apologize to everyone who could feel offended with the things I was saying. But then he added, but I don't regret a single word I said. And his party colleagues are already saying that they will now just press pedal to the metal. Now they already threatening with polonization of the media, because of course, according to them, only the government television is Polish enough to give people the truth, and they are not happy with independent media. So they are already trying. Yes,
it is going the way of Hungary.
Or perhaps even Belarus.
Yes, this is quite amazing. So, so people do not actually mind, or so many people do not mind that that this will turn into a kind of authoritarian state. Then
there are people who mind. Well, after all, that was the record turnout in those elections, and we have to remember that while Trzaskowski narrowly lost, he just had a couple of 5 weeks or so of campaign when he managed to collect a record number of signatures within just a few days. And then despite all this government propaganda that was smearing him in every way possible, they even tried to frame him into the... I'm laughing because it's so absurd. There was an incident in Warsaw when the bus driver caused an accident and he was found to be on drugs, and they tried to make it as it's Trzaskowski's fault that he employs German company, because buses are operated by Arriva, that use drug abusers as drivers. And with such propaganda aimed at him, I would say that the fact that he gained almost 50% of votes, it's enormous success under those circumstances.
There is also this thing that state television accused him of going to fulfill the wishes of the Jews.
And also Jews, Germans, gay people, name it, and Trzaskowski is to be blamed for it.
So you have this very strange situation where the infringement of human rights of minorities, of other nationalities, have now been democratically approved, and the government can do what they want. What will this final question? What will this do to the to the European Union and Central Europe? Because all the populists in Central Europe will be absolutely on their high horse now. they will be very happy, no?
And not only Eastern Europe, Nigel Farage seems very happy with the results of Polish election I saw today. But first and foremost, it will harm Poland because like a decade ago, Poland was considered to be a rising star in European Union, and it was that talk that while Britain is drifting away from the core of European Union, the Poland and Polish people can take a seat at this major table and have a big influence over direction the European Union is heading. Now we are considered Eurosceptics. The Polish government's unpredictable, so we are completely marginalized. Nobody really cares what Poland says in European Union anymore. And on one side, it can be seen as a triumph of populism, and maybe some other countries will look up for that. But when we look closer, it's like with Brexit. Brexit happens, and nobody really thinks now that it was a great idea and that Britain is going to benefit from that. So I'm optimistic when it comes to European Union. I think it would rather serve as a cautionary tale than an example to follow.
It is good that you're finishing with optimism. Vážení televizní diváci, jsem rád, že pan Tomáš Orinský končí navzdory všemu optimisticky. Děkujeme vám za pozornost a těšíme se zase nashledanou u jednoho z dalších rozhovorů Britských listů. Nashledanou. Děkuji bardzo.
Děkuji.